Welcome back to All Villages. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. If you didn't know that this weekend, it's that weekend to celebrate. And he really did accomplish so much. God worked through him. I remember in school, even in undergrad school, I remember reading one of his sermons that was written on toilet paper when he had been arrested. And it truly challenged me in a way that I had not been challenged by a sermon, and that was the beginning of me wanting to read and wanting to listen to everything that I could about him and what he said and stuff. So hope you're able to celebrate that and be encouraged on that. But it's great to have you here. Let us pray though. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for an opportunity for us to be gathered together in your name. To read of your word, but Lord, to let your word read us, for your spirit to meet with us, that we might be changed people because of it. We give you thanks for the life of Martin Luther King Jr., for his family, their sacrifice. We pray, Lord, for that vision, that dream to come to fruition, that you would help us all take a hard look. You would help us all lean in to love others where they're at, to let you work through us. You do good work, Lord. But sometimes we don't cooperate, and you got to do that deeper work. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be open and receptive to that. We give you thanks, we give you praise. Bless this time again, we pray in your name. Amen. We're jumping back into the Messiah series. We took some time off for Advent and celebrating again the Christmas season. But we're back in the Messiah. Messiah, again, is the New Living Translation that allows us to kind of dig into some certain books and stuff. And so we're now into the book of Hebrews. And so you might have no clue what that is. That's okay. But think of it as an Old Testament, like, introduction. Like, it there's so many, like, allusions to various things, sacrifices and the angels and the law and the tabernacle and all these things that were a part of the Old Testament that really helped define who they were as God's people, and how this Christian that's somewhere in Italy, we had come to understand in the text, that he's writing to some other Christians that we believe that are being persecuted for being Christians. They were Jewish. It was accepted in the Roman Empire at the time. But because of this Christian movement, this sect of Judaism that was kind of like causing an uproar, they're like, they got kicked out. And so the emperors of the time were just kind of pushing around saying, okay, it's not good, you're not allowed to do this, and so on. So they're really having to really be encouraged through this letter that Jesus was better than everything before that, and Jesus is enough, and they need to lean into it. So we're gonna dig into that, and it's interesting how sometimes we can read something and go, how does this relate to my life? But it really does, and I hope it make those connections for you. But what I wanted to do as we begin Hebrews, though, is kind of go back to something that I started sharing with you even last year. Almost entirely of last year, I put up something of a seed growing up out of the ground. And I wanted to have you look at that, the various ones coming across, right, that are just kind of going up and the various stages that they're in, and understand that all of us are in different places. But none of us can continue to grow without God's work pouring into us. We need God's work. We underestimate how much God has to do. We overestimate how much we have done, how good we are, how much further down the road we are than what we might realize. And so it's when we're silent, when we're still before the Lord, that we start to realize how much more God's got to help us let go or bring healing or to talk about, to bring where we at with this and help us process and so on. And it's if we want to get to that point of flourishing in the Lord, we're going to have those regular moments where we're still. And we all need them. I need them. You need them. But they don't just happen. I mean, we have to guard it. We have to almost plan for it. We have to plan for it. Whether it be early in the morning, late afternoon, maybe you're not a morning person, maybe late afternoon and then early afternoon and maybe evening, something like that, 2-3 times a day where you're cutting out 5, 10, 15 minutes being still before the Lord and letting the Lord work in you. Letting speak to him. Give him, share what you're going through, your struggles, the good, the bad, the ugly. Breathe in, breathe out. Let him have it. Trust him with all that you're struggling with. But in that struggle, know that he wants to pour into you. That he doesn't expect us to do it all on our own. That we have to learn to surrender. And if we can learn to surrender in this life, the next life is going to be so much easier. Think about this. We talk about, like, you know, being with God forever, eternity. We talk about trusting him with our forever, and yet we struggle trusting him with our everyday life. And so there's a gap there, right? Like, we need to work on that. It should be harder to trust him with forever, right? But no, it seems to be something like, well, one day that'll be. Reality is, you and I need to have regular times of being, like, continuing those conversations. What is the Lord wanting to talk to you about? What is he wanting to do in your heart, in your life, this day, this month, this year? Think about over 2021, the good and the bad. What were some things that God, opened up to you that you need to either address, work on, or surrender, or maybe you need to start learning and growing in those areas, right? Maybe when you look at it, you're like the seedling again. Maybe here you go. The seedling, and you're just starting off here, and yet maybe you think you're like the forest, right? You think you're like these trees are shooting up, and the Lord has shown you in this area, you really are just sprouting out. Don't be discouraged by that. What's important is that we know that God is at work. That God is at work in your heart, in my heart, in our lives, in our church, in this world, his world, and he's for us. So be encouraged. Don't lose heart. But I hope and pray that this time in Hebrews will encourage you. There's a lot of good things in here. First, again, Hebrews, just big picture again, it's an introduction, kind of Old Testament. I shared that before, but I just want to make sure you don't miss that. It's an opportunity for us to see how God works through regular, ordinary people and in situations, and yet does some very powerful things, some great things. There's sometimes he works in very extraordinary ways and does some great things. So it's not an either or, it's a both and, but it's, again, just about paying attention to what God is doing. And then this is a huge theme. Jesus is better than, okay? I made a list here, and these all come from scriptures throughout Hebrews. Jesus is a better high priest. He's a better hope, a better covenant, a better promise, a better sacrifice, a better possession, a better country, a better resurrection, a better word. He's better than. And chapter 1 opens up with how much better Jesus is than, like, the angels, and how amazing he is in that. And we're looking at, again, just looking at the beginning of Hebrews, but this theme, continual reminder of how Jesus is better than, it's really a big deal when it comes to, especially when he's talking again about Old Testament stuff, right? Part 1, as I like to say, that explains, that promises this new life, promises of God's rescue, promises that he's going to restore the world to himself. Doesn't necessarily say how. Doesn't really paint that picture of how it's going to end, but says there's going to be an end in it, and God's going to be good about it. Well, Hebrews is kind of like how he, the writer lands that plane and says, this is how he did it. And so it's kind of like a great way of kind of, if you were to read all the Old Testament and then jump into Hebrews and then begin the Gospels and things like that, I think it would serve you well. I know it sounds maybe a little bit different, like, wait, what? But we tend to jump in the Gospels and that's the story of Jesus, and we need to know that in and throughout our hearts and our lives. But Hebrews has such a way, again, of helping us see that Jesus is bigger and better, and he's not just one along the way. He is the final prophet, the final high priest, and he's still the high priest, currently serving up in the heavenly abode. And so one of the things that I think is crucial is that when it comes to understanding that, like, when Jesus comes, right, he's the messenger. He is the one with the message and the messenger. It's kind of like you had this great, like, wonderful person you always looked up to, okay? It was a hero of yours. If he wrote a letter to you, you might save that, read it, talk about it. You know, oh man, remember the day when that came in the mail? You know, talk, oh, this was such a special, you know. And that's fine. That's great. But what if that person was to actually come and actually say, we're going to spend some time together and then do life with you? I hope you clear your calendar, and I hope you're not too busy for them. You know, I hope you're not like, well, let's see if we can fit you in. Like, this would have changed everything, right? So the law, part one, was given to Moses, what they understood to be by angels. And so Jesus, the writer of Hebrews is saying, Jesus is better than the angels. He's better than those messengers that brought the law. I mean, there was nothing more ultimate, nothing more sacred than the law. I jump ahead, but it's important that you and I understand that the law, even though it's crucial for us in understanding how God was relating and calling a people to himself, the law, though, was never intended to be forever. Think of it as like a bridge until Jesus, until God brought the final culmination of the ages all together and said, this is what I'm doing. This is the new covenant, and so on. So big themes that are found throughout all of Hebrews is to kind of set our sights on Jesus is a good way to put it. How we can be faithful through Jesus, how Jesus is the one that he's our man in heaven, right? He's 100% man, 100% God. This is the theological term that we use is Christology. What is the Hebrews has a ton to say about who Jesus was as fully man and fully God. And what is he currently doing? How he lived our life and died our death, right? He became one of us and knows the challenges we face, knows the struggles, knows family dysfunction, understands when people leave you or abandon you or betray you. He understands the pain of loved ones just walking out on you. He understands pain more than we realize. And one aspect that we'll see in Hebrews as you read it, and I encourage you, if you haven't started, pick it up. We're going to be reading through Hebrews 8 by the end of this week with the homework, but dig into it, and I promise there's so much in there. But one of the things that I think is important is that we believe every time we take communion, we remember Jesus's his life, it was a real life, his ministry, his death, it was a real death, his resurrection. And that's a key part that describes who we are in Christ and what God has done for us. But one aspect that Hebrews really stresses is God's work in him through his ascension. That the work of Jesus, that what he did on the cross, wasn't fully complete until he comes and takes his blood. And I know it's going to sound a little weird just because where we're at in 2022, but he takes his sacrificial blood, think Old Testament terms now, right now, and uses it as part of the cleansing for all people, that he uses it to in the high places with God to say, the people are now cleansed because of what I've done. I've bought all the people back through the payment of my blood. Now, to get you kind of back and can make the connections, it's crucial you understand that part one in the Old Testament, we understand when he creates a sacrificial system, he's not creating a system to punish animals. Sometimes we look at it like that. Like that's, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're losing their life, right, kind of thing, right? But it's not to punish them. It's to bring cleansing for the people, right? That their blood is being spilled for this cleansing so God can come and dwell with his people. Well, this ascension that Jesus does and now is seated at the right hand of God the Father, as we come to understand it, is now has created this moment where now everyone, heaven and earth, are now intertwined in a way that they're becoming reality. And in that reality, we have new life. In that reality, we have that oneness in him. And he wants to dwell with us forever. So there's a lot of good things here. The Old Testament is an unfinished story. See, it's pointing towards that further reality. It's wanting everyone to see that there is a hope. But that it's not offered there. It's not offered. It's only given a glimpse of what this reality is going to look like. This promise of God's, again, restoring the whole world to himself. The great act has now been accomplished in Jesus. And so this Old Testament introduction, again, in Hebrews, I like to say, is wanting us to see again that we can now look at all the rest of part one through what it means for Jesus. How does Jesus now help us see these Old Testament scriptures and maybe a new light? Again, the theological term for that is our hermeneutics, but I digress. And then the last theme, the major theme, is the atonement, or the sacrificial death of Jesus. That what does it mean? That the reconciling of the universe to the God self. That in this sacrifice, we see that it's highlighted how serious sin is. That God takes it very, very serious. That it has a more of an impact than we realize. In Genesis 1 and 2, everything is beautiful and great and wonderful and alive. And there's just this communion and connection. And then a pivot happens, Genesis 3, and as you turn the page and you see brother kills brother, and it continues on. It just, the whole creation starts to spiral out of control. And as it spirals out of control, you kind of go, is there any hope, kind of thing? And yet, in this, we see this purifying work of God that Hebrews talks about that happens through this Jesus. So as you read Hebrews, you're going to see a lot of, again, terminology that's total Old Testament, that's going back to when the tabernacle, when the people came out of Egypt and God said, I'm going to dwell with you, and this is how you're going to relate with me. And he gives them the Ten Commandments, and you can relate with me here and you can relate with others here, and he really lays out how to do that. And it's from that we can see that God wants to dwell with us. God wants to dwell with you. Still, he wants to dwell. That in Jesus, he's now said, I've made a way where I'm always there with you. You just have to surrender. And once you see that Jesus is the way, then you can start to experience peace and his oneness and start to then live the life God's called us to live. There's so many wonderful things here. I want to take the next just a few minutes and look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and look at how it challenges us as Christians to consider, how are we far off our mission? Where did we kind of get off a little bit? And life throws us off all the time. Think of alignment on a car. You get alignment, everything's fine, okay, good, boom, a big jar, big pothole, something, some terrain or something can jar it out in a way that you, okay, now it pulls a certain direction. Tires, all these things play a part. But it can happen in an instant. Sometimes we don't realize it, though, for some time. We see the evidence of it on the tire, the wearing of our tires. If it's one on one side versus another, you're like, ooh, that's not good. You know, like, what could have done that? And it's costly. The mission drift that it shows us is something I think we need to pay attention to. I found a new iceberg picture. I like it better a little bit. But again, it shows, again, the massiveness, the challenge that sometimes we're facing in life. And we're not talking like, you know, something of like, you know, do I go, you know, to make a right or go left? Not necessarily. I'm talking like, you know, there are things you're like, I don't know what to do about this. Like, God, I need you to move mountains on this one, right? Maybe it's you know, struggling with alcohol. Maybe it's struggling with finances. Maybe it's struggling with who you are as a person. There's help out there. And again, I believe it starts in Jesus. But the reality is that Jesus is the only way that I know to get past it. That he's the only one that provides a way through it, around it, that he doesn't pull away, that he doesn't shame us. He's like, listen, I know where you're at. In fact, I know how big of the iceberg. We just tend to see the top of it. We don't see the bottom of it. And we just think, oh, it's not that big. It's big. Let's jump into the text. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Now, again, these are Christians persecuted because they're not living the Jewish lifestyle anymore. They're not keeping the law in the same way. And so they're being persecuted, and they're like, listen, don't think by just going back to that old way. Don't drift away from what God has called us to, this new reality, this new promise of God. For the message God delivered through the angels has always stood firm. Remember, the law was everything. There was nothing more ultimate to him, okay? The law was everything, and it's crucial that you and I remember that yes, the law is important. It there was no greater patriarch in the Jewish tradition than Moses. Now, we as Christians absolutely have huge respect for Moses, and again, there's so much we learn from him and the law, but when it comes to it, we look at Abraham, like what God did in him, and how it kind of started everything off and leads us to Jesus, but I digress a little bit. Then the text continues. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. Now, It sounds like a little harsh, but the reality is, he's trying to say again, this is, it wasn't just, we didn't just gloss this over, like it was a big deal. The whole sacrificial system was put in place so that we could again still have the dwelling of God with us back in that time period. But the challenge is, we push down the seriousness of how God takes sin. And so he's like, listen, sin costs us every time, by the way. I don't know if you thought of that before, but it costs us something every time. It costs others. And it's usually something that we didn't intend. We didn't intend to cost anyone anything, and yet it does. But again, let's look back, continue with the test. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? Again, he's talking about the messenger, this famous person that you so wanted to spend time with, you so wanted to hear from them. They wrote a message, they gave it to you, you loved it. But now they're coming into town again and they're saying, we'd like to, you know, can we hang out? We need to learn to put that in action. We need to learn that God, through Jesus, wants to meet with us all the time. Now, it's not about going to work and feeling bad. I got to go to work. I can't spend time with the Lord. No. You're going to work with the Lord. You're going to school with the Lord. You're doing whatever in the community with the Lord. Where has God placed you? We call it your frontline ministry. Where has God put you? And how can you engage in that with God to serve and love others in the name of the Lord? So let's not miss that, again, this messenger is here, is fully present. And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. And what I want to kind of land on here for us is that the Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, lives in us. That the Holy Spirit is one that helps us have the hope and the joy that we need. But we got to understand that this filling that Jesus wants to give us by his Spirit, moment by moment, every single day, isn't so that we just feel good, but it's so he can do the work in us so that we become alive. Don't miss that. There's more important things than sometimes just being happy. I'm not saying we don't want to be happy. I'm just saying, but that's not the goal. The goal is that we will become the people God intended all from all time that we would become. But it starts with you and I leaning in, trusting the Lord, again, providing moment by moment, surrendering to him. How can we see that we don't just have a message about him, we actually have the living Spirit of God in us. It's a powerful truth. Don't miss that. Because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. As later in Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 9, he tasted death for everyone. That for us, it's not about Jesus dying again and again and again. It was a once and for all sacrifice that from now on, we're his. We've been redeemed, bought with a price. That's language used back in the days of slavery, that we've been given our name back, our worth back, who we are in Christ. We're now called children of God. Last week, if you were able to be with us, John Tarek, the COO of ECO, we're very encouraged, very blessed to have him be a part of our church family last week, and just really grateful for his message. But in that, he talked about some of the challenges that churches are experiencing. And one of the one that for me that just I leaned in was that, you know, how do we turn, the number one challenge pastors feel is how do we turn Sunday attenders into disciple makers? And I'm like, dude, yes, that is me. That's what keeps me up at night. That's what I think about. How can we help people learn to know that there's so much more than a Sunday service? That we need to have times of worship, absolutely. But in that, the other 6 days of growing more in Christ, of reading God's word, of sharing that hope with others, of serving others and so on, that's what feeds that. That's what fills that. That's what brings that transformation about. But it's the deep work that God's got to do in us moment by moment. And that's where, again, we bring back the whole God's anvil. We need to understand that he is working on us time and time again. And at times it doesn't feel good, We have hopes and dreams, and then a hurricane comes, or we have plans, and then COVID comes, or you know, we're going to get our license, and then, you know, things happen. Anyhow, the reality is, what about your life? What about your life is what I want to kind of land on here. With the Lord and with all villages, declares to the message of Jesus that it's true, that it's powerful. What is it about your relationship with the Lord and with the church that helps you live out that true and powerful message? I want you to think about that. Steve every week challenges us, but also it wants to encourage everyone. You know, how can we grow in flourishing in the relationship with our Lord? What's our next flourishing step? I mean, that really is the vision for us in this season. How can we help every person that God brings discern, discover, and then encourage them to take that next step? That next step for you might be getting a Bible and starting to read it. Maybe you get one of the Messiah Bibles, you start to read with us, and we start to process it and see that this story is not just something that happened, it's something that happens. Maybe your flourishing next step is how you can start praying for those that God has placed you around. What do you need to know about how to share the hope that you have? Maybe there's some things that there's some healing, there's some wholeness, there's some areas in your life that you know God needs to dig deeper and bring some healing there. And in that, how can we as a church help you? We're looking forward to times of encouraging us to gather together like prayer vigils and to pray together. We're looking forward to providing courses that people can take to help them, again, know what is the Lord looking to do in my life in this moment. Whether it's becoming a flourishing disciple, a flourishing leader. What does it look like to be a flourishing church? I mean, these are things that we really think are great next steps, but you're the one that has to lean in for that. You're the one that has to seek the Lord and say, Lord, is that what you're wanting me to do? And so I just want to encourage you in that. What about your life is helping others? And again, your relationship with the church is helping declare to others the power and the truthfulness of this Jesus and what he's doing. Challenging question for you. I hope it encourages you though. This next week, your homework is Hebrews 5 through 8. So Hebrews 5 through 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 4 chapters. You can do it in 7 days. You got time. So I'd encourage you again, spread it out. Read it. If you want to read 2 chapters a day, read it twice. You'll be through that thing in no time. And again, it'll really start to resonate, and it helps connect with the messages and stuff. So all good stuff. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.